Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good morning, Birdland. I'm Mark Brown. I've been covering the Orioles for more than a decade on CamdenChat.com and hosting this podcast for 105 episodes and counting. It is now April the 5th, 2024. The Orioles' season is 6 games old, and they are 4-2 thanks to series wins against both the Angels and the Royals. Much like with the first series of the year, after the Orioles played Kansas City, you can either choose to be happy that they won the 2 games or instead choose to have lingering feelings of dread over the bits that didn't go right, as against the Royals, it took 2 late comebacks and walk-off wins in order for the Orioles to end up winning 2 out of 3. With not terribly worse luck, the Orioles could have gotten swept by the Royals, which would have been much less fun. But believe it or not, I'm choosing to be happy about the wins. But in today's episode, I'm going to spend a whole lot of time talking about Orioles prospects and where you can find them to start this minor league season, because Double A Bowie, High A Aberdeen, and Low A Delmarva all get their seasons underway, weather permitting, tonight. Triple A Norfolk, of course, has already been going since a week ago, and you probably already know who is there because we have been hearing a lot about the hitting prospects since their season began. They are obliterating their opposition on a nightly basis, just piling on runs. Jackson Holliday being on the team does remain disappointing. We'll see how long he ends up staying there. But just beyond him, there's Heston Kerstad, Kobe Mayo, and Connor Norby, all also kicking butts so far. And though he doesn't technically count as a prospect anymore, there's also the older Kyle Stowers, who still doesn't have a ton of big league experience. I think any one of these guys could have probably cracked at least a few big league rosters. Holliday probably could have cracked more than a few. But honestly, poor Stowers, though, because just the other day, he set the Norfolk Tides career home run record. You know, as a professional player, you don't really want to be setting minor league team career records that require you to be around in the minors for a long time. You want to get your big league shot. Stowers, well, he's gotten a little shot, but he seems like he can do better now, and he deserves to get this version of him a shot as well. You know, it feels like any one of these guys could end up having an impact on the 2024 Orioles season, depending on how things develop, like actually as a member of the Orioles and not necessarily just trade bait, though some of that might end up happening too, depending on what kind of needs there are in the pitching staff and what kind of pitchers are made available by other teams by the time July rolls around. For now, at least for the position players, the only thing that will keep call-ups from happening is if everyone stays healthy and productive ahead of them up in Baltimore. For the time being, Austin Hayes and Ramon Urias are on everybody's watch list because they aren't hitting, and they do have obvious replacements who were hitting well in spring training and are still hitting well in AAA. But, you know, it's only been six games for the big league team. Would be pretty foolish if the Orioles made permanent decisions of removing one of these guys from the roster or the organization entirely because of a bad first week of the season. I think that's particularly true about Hayes, who has a decent three-year track record at the plate and has shown the ability to handle the new expanded left field at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Urias, a little bit more iffy since his value is heavily relating to the fact that he won a Gold Glove in 2022 and has a vaguely acceptable bat. I think it's not clear that that Gold Glove-level defense has continued even to last year, to say nothing of this year. And then he started the season with an offer, so is the bat going to even be vaguely acceptable? Because if it's not, you know, what's he doing here? Still, I think we've all got to calm down, no matter how amazing the Tides offense is, and just figure that there's not going to be any changes to the position player mix until or unless there's either an injury or it gets to the point where the Orioles just decide that it's time for Holiday. I think we are at least 2 weeks away from that being a consideration. And as far as any of the other guys, like Hayes, whatever, I really can't imagine the Orioles pulling the trigger on anything before it's been, let's say, at least 6 weeks of the season. Because, I mean, Hayes, he's got enough of a track record that it's worth giving him a shot to bring out of it. But I do hope that at least the front office has a plan for what to do if something works out that Hayes does not come out of it. But you know Norfolk's roster, it does not lack for pitchers to keep an eye on either. They've got lefty Cade Povich and righty Chase McDermott in the starting rotation to start the season. These two guys are in the top 10 on the MLB Pipeline top Orioles prospect list. So that means there's six of the team's top 10 prospects are on the Tides to start the season. Also on that top 30 on the Tides is righty pitcher Justin Armbruster. As of yet, none of these three guys are on the 40-man roster, but I think we could see one in June or July if one of them is pitching much better than the others and looks like he could handle the big leagues. I mean, basically all three of them are similar in that they need to keep their strikeout rates high while cutting down on their walk rates. Moving down a level to AA, Bowie boasts three of Pipeline's top 10 Orioles. Catching prospect Samuel Basayo is starting off there. He's got so much hype, he pretty much needs no further introduction. Also, there is outfielder Dylan Beavers and pitcher Seth Johnson, who is already on the Orioles' 40-man roster. Basayo, as a reminder, has a stress fracture in his throwing elbow that will have him be DH only probably for all of April. Beavers, a favorite of this podcasting household because my wife predicted the Orioles would draft him minutes before they drafted him. He OPS'd 894 in the final 34 games he played at Bowie last year. That included an on-base percentage over 400, which is a pretty darn good number. And then there is Johnson, who only ended up pitching in five games last year after returning from 2022 Tommy John surgery. So he's a little bit in the John Means territory of we're not totally going to be convinced that he's back until he's, you know, back. Johnson's prospect stock being as high as it is to the extent that it is still high is heavily influenced by what he showed pre-surgery. And he really hasn't had much chance to see what his post-surgery looks like. There's four more Bowie hitters who are lower down on the top 30 list. Joining Beavers in the outfield is Judd Fabian, a strikeout-heavy outfielder who's had at least one prospect writer, Keith Law at The Athletic, who's basically bailed on him and taken him off of Orioles' lists entirely. Also in Bowie's outfield is John Rhodes, a third-round pick 3 years ago who scuffled out in the Arizona Fall League back last fall. There is super utility guy Billy Cook, who hit 24 home runs for the Bay Sox over 120 games last year, which is just enough power, along with his positional flexibility, to be sort of interesting. Also in this Bay Sox lineup is infielder Frederick Bencosme, who was interesting when he batted 311 2 years ago, less interesting when he slugged only 319 last year. But even with that, he's gotten the bump up to Bowie. He is still playing out this season at only 21 years old. So I think he is at least one more guy worth paying attention to. Now, every one of these position players, basically, is going to have to wait for somebody to get traded or promoted to Baltimore in order to get a chance up in Norfolk, it feels like, for the most part, other than maybe Bisayo, and even he's going to be a little while since the Orioles are going to have to be satisfied that he's catching at least at a good enough level, along with needing to make sure he still hits in order to send him up to AAA. So probably all of these guys are stuck here for at least a couple of months and maybe longer, honestly, no matter how good they are. But the better they do, I guess the more the chances they will have to get thrown into some kind of July trade if they can make themselves interesting as the second or maybe even third name thrown in on a multiplayer trade. I will be right back after a message from a Fans First Sports Network sponsor, and then we can talk about a couple more Bowie pitchers before moving along down the farm system through Aberdeen and Delmarva.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Bowie starting rotation has two righties who are on the top 30 MLB Pipeline Orioles prospect list. That is Trace Bright and Alex Pham, each of whom have had some interesting results so far as pros. Bright was a fifth-round pick in the 2022 draft by the Orioles. He struck out 147 batters over 99 innings between Aberdeen and Bowie a year ago. Like so many of these other pitchers I've named so far, he also walked too many dudes, so he's going to have to work on that. Pham is listed at 5'11", so that is shorter than most successful professional pitchers. Maybe part of why he was only a 19th-round pick when the Orioles drafted him. But the 24-year-old just keeps getting batters out. Between Aberdeen and Bowie in 2023, batters against Pham hit just 182, and they only had an OPS of 548. So, you know, when he gets there, AAA and maybe eventually MLB batters are going to be tougher. But, I mean, that's intriguing results, even a little bit for old for the level at this point. But it's enough to make him at least worth thinking about and following if you're going to keep track of names on the farm system, especially since there aren't nearly as many interesting pitchers in the Orioles farm system as there are hitters. And you know, we've listed a lot of names already just from going through AAA Norfolk and AA Bowie. Not as much left for the high A and low A levels. I think that the farm system still being able to provide reinforcements for the big league club when like 2026 rolls around, that effort is going to be helped if some of the guys who are down in A-ball to start this season can maybe look like they could be part of a next developing wave below the big one that looks like it's soon to wash from AAA into the MLB level. So the Aberdeen Ironbirds have the top two Orioles draft picks from 2023, that being first-rounder outfielder Enrique Bradfield Jr., and infielder Mac Horvath. That's Mac, just M-A-C, no K in there. They're both at Aberdeen. Bradfield is fast. He has a great defensive reputation, so he's just going to need to be able to hit enough to make use of these skills as a regular player in the pros. Aberdeen, going to be a test for him, and if he passes it, he's going to be that much closer to the big leagues. If he doesn't, well, then we're going to be like, oh, I guess that middle of the first round or even late first round pick didn't work out. That's just the way it goes sometimes. But hopefully he can hit. Then there's Horvath. He hit 24 home runs in 60 games as a college junior, 5 homers in 22 games in his debut as a pro late last year. So it's going to be worth watching, I think, what kind of power he's able to show in his first full pro season, which is starting at the high A level. Also in the Ironbirds lineup is going to be catcher Creed Williams. He conquered Delmarva on the second attempt there a year ago, but then struggled at Aberdeen. So if he revives on his second taste of high A, just like he did for low A, that's going to be worth keeping him on the prospect radar. If he doesn't, well, other prospects are coming, and more will be coming as the Orioles make their draft choices later this year. The Ironbirds rotation looks like it should feature 3 of the pitchers on that top 30 Orioles prospect list at MLB Pipeline. That includes the guy who is thus far the highest drafted and signed pitcher under Mike Elias, which was last year's competitive balance round B pick, Jackson Baumeister. There's also Juan Nunez, who is another guy who was part of the Jorge Lopez deal in 2022, along with Yennier Cano, who's, of course, an all-star last year and still in the big league bullpen for the Orioles this year, and Povich, who is there at Norfolk. Also in Delmarva to start the season is oft-injured 2020 draftee Carter Baumler. This is the Rule 5 draft decision year for Baumler, so if his success is ever going to come in the Orioles organization, I think he's going to have to put something together here this year. Really, it would be nice to see him probably conquer Delmarva and Aberdeen in the same year if he can manage it, get onto something like the finally arrived tour that Heston Kerstad was able to put together once Kerstad had himself a healthy season in professional baseball. Last, but certainly not least, the low A Delmarva Shorebirds are going to open the season with 4 of Pipeline's top 30 Orioles prospects. And all of these guys were international amateur signings by the Orioles. With Elias tending to be college heavy in his draft classes, it seems like that's probably going to be the norm for Delmarva going forward, especially early in seasons. Very international, former international amateur heavy rosters. The advanced college players who were getting drafted the previous year are getting pushed to Aberdeen fairly soon after being drafted, in many cases the year they are drafted. Now, that's much to the chagrin of at least one Camden Chat commenter I know who's over on the Eastern Shore. Sorry to all of those who don't have to cross the Bay Bridge to go down the ocean, but I'm glad for guys moving up towards helping the Orioles quicker if that's the way that things are able to work out. So, the Shorebirds to start the 2024 minor league season. There's outfielder Braylon Tavera, who was, at the time he signed, a record international amateur signing bonus player for the Orioles. He got a $1.7 million bonus January the 15th, 2 years ago. Tavera is still just 18 years old as he arrives in his first taste of full season minor league baseball. That is exactly the same age as Samuel Basayo was when he got to low A Delmarva to start last season. So, you know, if Tavera shows something interesting this year, basically the same interesting things that made the Orioles decide to give him a seven-figure signing bonus in the first place, I think he's a guy who could find himself as a top 100 prospect stock player around this time next year. Although, of course, we can hardly hope to have the Orioles be as lucky with Tavera as they were with Basayo, who developed really just went up like a rocket and is in the top 15. You know, Tavera, it would be nice if he's just in the 80 to 100 range, enough that, you know, league-wide lists are worth noticing him, and he's going to be a guy to follow even closer next year. Don't need to get too greedy, although certainly it would be cool if he went on the Basayo path. But there's another outfielder, Thomas Sosa, who received $400,000 in that same signing class. Before these players hit at least the Delmarva level, I mean, there's little for American fans to know about them, unless you're camped down at Sarasota watching the Gulf Coast League, which nearly, well, probably none of us listening to this show are. Sosa last year batted .290 with a .385 on-base percentage, .492 slugging percentage in the rookie level Gulf Coast League. So, you know, that's more than enough that he's now in low A. He's going to have the full season challenge ahead of him, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does. There's also an infielder in that group, Leandro Arias. He's got a $600,000 signing bonus also in that 2022 January 15 class. There's prospect writers out there, including the one at Fangraphs, who really likes Arias's bat, thinks he's got a maybe decent enough chance to stick at shortstop to have him be an interesting prospect. So, I mean, the same as these other guys, arriving at full season ball is where we're going to start to find out what's going on there. And none of this is as immediately as exciting as having Holiday, Kerstad, Mayo, Norby, and Stowers blasting off in AAA, but I think it really is still important for the continuation of the talent pipeline moving to Baltimore. I hope we get to see some good stuff from at least two of these guys, and certainly all three would be great as 2024 plays out. I think if any of them are really, really excelling, we could certainly see them make it to Aberdeen as the season goes along. But just holding their own in Delmarva would be good enough for 18-year-olds to still have some interesting things worth about them as prospects. So at least for now, there's only one pitcher at the Delmarva or on the Shorebirds roster who is on MLB Pipeline's top 30, which is lefty Luis De Leon. He signed for just $30,000 at the very end of the 2021 international signing period there in December. There's been a bit of a trend in recent years to start having the international pitching prospects sign later and for less money than the high-dollar 16-year-old hitters. The Houston Astros, who, as we all by now know, are where Mike Elias came from as an assistant before joining the Orioles, that franchise has made a lot of hay in turning pitchers like this into big leaguers, including three guys who have participated in no-hitters for the Houston franchise. Just last week, Ronel Blanco threw a no-hitter. That guy signed for $5,000 as a 22-year-old. Framber Valdez had a solo no-hitter a year ago after signing at age 21 for just $10,000. And there's also Christian Javier, part of two combined no-hitters, including one in the postseason in the 2022 season. He got a $10,000 bonus at age 18 when Houston signed him. So De Leon was 18 years old when signed by the Orioles. He pitched in 9 games for Delmarva last year, where he will be starting again this year. One more guy on this list where he had a great number of strikeouts, too many walks. It is a familiar story among the pitching prospects who the Orioles seem to covet. But if they can get some of them to keep up the strikeouts and have fewer walks, then basically the bet they're making is that they will be able to develop some lesser-ranked pitchers into useful big leaguers rather than needing to use high draft picks on the pitchers themselves. It's worked out in at least one case, or at least in 2023, with Kyle Bradish, who was not on any top 100 lists before he debuted in Baltimore, and pretty darn good last year. We're certainly going to hope Bradish can be at least as good as he comes back this year. Who else can follow in his footsteps? That's really going to be one of the interesting questions to keep an eye on as the 2024 minor league season moves along. I will be checking in on the progress of the prospects as the season goes along here and there on this podcast. But if you want to get more prospect coverage from your Orioles podcasting listening on a regular basis, I would suggest if you don't already listen to them, you check out fellow Orioles podcasters at On the Verge. Anybody who wants to get even deeper than 30 names into the system or just more thoroughly looking at the top guys, that is your show to check out. One final note before I wrap up this episode. One of my quirks as an Orioles fan is that I don't like the Orioles to hold the record for being the worst anything. So recently, over a period of years, I followed with interest as the recently retired Albert Pujols reached and passed Cal Ripken Jr. as the all-time MLB leader for grounding into a double play. That was a fun day for me when Pujols finally passed Ripken and surpassed him by about as much as Ripken surpassed the streak of Lou Gehrig. Also, every time there's a blowout, I root for the losing team in that blowout to give up more than 30 runs so that the Orioles getting blown out 30-3 will not be the most immediate memory on everyone in baseball's minds whenever there is a huge blowout happening. And then, at the start of every season, I root for the 1988 Orioles to be knocked off from the top seat for season-opening futility from their 0-21 start that year. So, with teams having played between 6 and 8 games so far this year, depending on the scheduling and rain, there's only one winless team left as of this recording. That is the Miami Marlins, who lost on Thursday to fall to 0-8 to begin the season. They've still got a long way to go to get to 0-22 and supplant the 1988 Orioles. Nothing personal against them at all, but I'm going to be hoping they find a way to make it. So far, almost their whole offense stinks a lot, and a lot of their bullpen has been shelled in early outings. So that is definitely a recipe to have some prolonged futility to begin a season. I'm going to be looking at them nightly to see how long that lasts. One final note, if you would like to get a question or topic for discussion into the mailbag of a future episode, you can email camdencastpod@gmail.com. That's all that I've got for today. If you enjoyed this show, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform and maybe tell an Orioles fan friend you know about the show as well. Thank you. Quick scheduling note, the next podcast episode will be released on Tuesday rather than the usual Monday, so I will be back with you on the morning of the 9th to hopefully talk about another fun Orioles series as they will be in Pittsburgh this weekend to play the thus far surprisingly good, with a 6-1 record, Pittsburgh Pirates. Good Morning Birdland is a Camden Cast production on the Fans First Sports Network. This is Mark Brown, signing off.